You're listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographers Series 2025. Artistic Direction, Brianna O'Mara and Chris Haring. The series is co-funded by the European Union in the frame of Lifelong Burning, Futures Lost and Found. Today's guest is Luigi Guerrieri, whose work Poor Guy was invited to this year's Attention series. We talked about narcissism, about family issues and the freedom art can give, and how to handle unexpected circumstances like losing one's voice on the day of a premiere. My name is Almut Kreser and it was my pleasure to chat with Luigi. We are back at the Mumuk Museum at the pop-up exhibition of Impulse Dance, and with me today is Luigi Jesus Guerrieri Civitariale Morelli, or Luigi Guerrieri. Welcome.
Thank you.
You are a performer based in Vienna, but you have a background in cultural and social anthropology, which does have an influence in the way you make performances. I read you are a cook as well sometimes, and you were invited to Impulse Dance to the Attention series with your piece Poor Guy, and this is what we are going to talk about today, and also about your time at the festival having a residency. That's the role of Lifelong Burning in this, that we invite the artists of the Attention series to stay in Vienna a bit longer and to have a residency and not just come make their show and leave again, but to actually stay here with us. So I'm very pleased to meet you. And I would first actually like you to briefly explain us what is happening on stage in Poor Guy. What is it about? What happens on stage? Just to warm up the memories and to also give a picture to those who might not have seen the show but listen to this podcast.
Yes, so Poor Guy, it's a piece which I will call an autobiographical piece, or actually an auto-ethnographical performance, because it's a piece based on my own story. And I use my own story to actually question narcissism. So the goal of the piece somehow is to question critically narcissism and how it is present in our world today, using the same weapon, which means being extremely narcissistic. So everything is about me, just me.
It's just you, and it also very much is about how hard it is for you and how unfair the world is treating you to some extent, right?
Yes, how hard it is to be myself. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, there are all this level, and I'm playing with all this level in a way that it should be deep but also light, and strong but also naive, and political, of course, but also ironic. So there are all this level, all these layers that come together.
What I remember from having seen the performance, and it's a couple of weeks ago, because it was one of the first ones shown during the festival, and it's now the last week of the festival by now. But since you live in Vienna, we had a bit more time to actually make an appointment. Well, what I remember is that people were laughing quite a lot, like partly hysterically laughing with you, not, you really caught a nerve there. How did you come up with this topic, or how did you decide to make a piece about your story?
That's a really good question. So as I say during the piece, it happened to me a lot that people are telling me, you should do something about your life story because it's so special and so many different and strange things happen to you. So that's also, it's somehow a leitmotif that I have since long time. So I always had this idea to use it as a material. Then what happened are two things, actually. There are two key moments. One is the fact that I'm, as I also shared during the piece, I'm done my psychoanalysis, which means that somehow it's a symbolic moment to tell myself that I'm done dealing with all my past and all my story, so I can use my story as a material with using a right and healthy distance to it. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that in all of these, like during my years of analysis and also hearing myself telling my own story to friends or in different situations, I cannot avoid about thinking about all the narcissism that is present nowadays, a bit almost everywhere, I would say, especially on social media, social networks. And so it's something that I can see, I can criticize, and actually I can criticize even more because I'm the first one being trapped in this trap. So, and I think that when I find a topic that it's strongly connected to myself, then I can really go deep because it touches me. It's not something far away from me. And it touches me in different levels, which means not just theoretically or conceptually, but also as a feeling, so also emotionally. And that's a really good combo, in my opinion, to work about something, because then you can really allow yourself to go deep into it. Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense. And how did you start dealing with this? I mean, you just mentioned that you had finished your analysis, so you sort of had this starting point of this is done, now I can actually use this story as a material. Having made this decision, how do you start then producing material that can be used on stage? How was this process going?
So this process was actually much, much longer. Because during the pandemic, I started to use more and more social networks, which is something that before I didn't do so much. I was always a bit like a host or a guest, sorry, in Facebook or Instagram. And then during the pandemic, I started to use Instagram and Facebook as a platform to research, like to make small video performances and to put them online, actually mainly as a, it was for me a frame that I could use to stay active during the pandemic. And so I started to work with social network like this, and while I was doing this, so giving this goal to myself to produce something every week, in a really light way and so quite easy, but that was my goal, I realized that actually I was really producing a lot. No? And I started with another topic, which was a topic of happiness and well-being, which then came into another piece, flowers. But then I started to work about myself a bit. It happened somehow, because I write a lot and I started to write more and more about myself. And also for this, I need the frame, which is really my thing. I always need the frame to give myself, to clarify a bit the things that I'm doing. So I started a blog. And of course, the question is, does a blog make sense now? I asked myself the same thing, but it was a frame just for me. And in this blog, I started to tell my stories, no? So my biography, but in a really fragmented way. And so like episodes and also some reflections, playing with all these different levels and being, of course, auto-ironic, because it's something that I totally need always.
And this blog is still online, right?
Yes.
It's the one, like you can find one blog if you Google you, and that's the one that was the beginning of this piece.
Yeah. So, and I was writing this and using this material also to make small performances, small video performances that I was posting online using this text or working on them somehow, like taking one word or one topic of this text and just repeating it or creating a song about this. And then actually when I found myself last year finally in the room, in the rehearsal space, in the residency at Tanz Hotel, I realized that I already had a lot of material. So actually, the main work for me was to put all the material together, of course to develop it, but to put them together and actually to cut, like to choose what I wanted to say and to show, because it could be much, much longer.
You had to kill a lot of your babies then in this process.
Yes, and actually I love to do it. Yes.
Okay. What I remember from, like, one of the first things I realized when I saw the piece and the stage was there's hardly anything on it. Like, there's nothing else. It's just you. Was this decision made very early, or was this then it happened in the process?
I love to use really few things. So I love the empty space and I love the minimalism somehow on the stage. And this choice was made mainly because of two reasons. The first one is that it's about me, so it's just me.
Makes sense.
Yes. And I didn't want any extra thing, just me, myself and my stories and my voice. And my body, my naked body, in Italian you would say, like my mom made me. When you're naked, that's what we say. So really, just me. So totally naked. And so it was a choice to be like this, to wear just this family gold, this, how you say, jewelry, yes. And the other reason is really practical and also a bit consequent, and it's like the fact that I didn't get any funding for the project. So I decided then I don't try to ask someone for a costume, but then I cannot pay this person. I just want to be fair and really bold, and then I don't have anything, just myself. And of course I could pay myself more, but yeah, just myself.
And it does seem very consequent and logical when you listen to or when you see the piece. It's not that you miss something at all. It makes it, yeah, pure. And I think that hits the point of it anyways. I would like to go back one step and ask you, because you have studied anthropology and you had been a researcher, right? Or... Yeah.
Working with the research.
Yeah. What was the point when you decided that you are not going to, I don't know, go to academics and do only research, but to actually be a performer? Like, you didn't, it's not the classical path you ended up here. What was, how was this path looking like for you?
I love studying and making research and theory. I love it. But after a while, I get lost, which means that I cannot do just this. And I tried also to apply for some PhD, for example, in artistic research, which is something that I use anyway, and it's really interesting to me, really appealing also. Didn't work out, and somehow it's better like this, because I'm not able to just concentrate on academic work. And to use just the academic frame to write what I would like to say. I need the performance, I need the creative and artistic like tools, because if not, it's too dry for me. And so performance was always there, like, I don't know, I'm doing performance, theater, bit of dance since more than 10 years for sure. 15 maybe? 20. Sorry. Yeah. And they use the theory and the academic studies to enrich what I'm doing. But I love to do performances, so to make art and something creative, because then I can use all this material as a material and just say it, sorry the word, fuck it. Like, I don't need to quote anybody to be aware of all the references or all the logic and blah, blah, blah. I just take it, I use it as I want, I'm free.
Yeah, the artistic freedom is a beautiful thing that one might miss when writing.
Exactly.
Writing papers. The piece, it didn't premiere here at the Impulstanz. It premiered this year, also in Vienna, yeah. I saw the premiere of the festival, like the first show, and that night you had no voice. You came on stage, you did an epilogue and said with your very crusty voice that you lost your voice, but you're going to do it anyways. Did you consider calling it off, or was it very clear you have to do it without voice anyways, even though you talk for an hour? Because you are the main thing in the piece.
So, first of all, it's something that never happened to me in my life, to lose my voice. Never, never. I did the general rehearsal the day before, and right after I started to feel a bit of, I know, my voice would be strange. I didn't feel that I was pushing during the rehearsals. So I was a bit worried about it. But yeah, I thought maybe tomorrow it will be better. And then actually the day after, the day of the premiere, was not better at all. Actually, every hour was going worse. But somehow, I don't know why, I had trust and I didn't even think about canceling the performance. It was really, I didn't even think about it. It was not in my plan. I thought somehow I will manage. Or somehow, actually, what I thought at the beginning was the voice will be back. Then around 5 or 6, I realized that no, the voice is not coming back. Actually, it's going worse. So I went to the hospital because it was Saturday. And the doctor told me it's a virus, so you cannot do anything. You can just shut up and wait. And I told him, you know, I cannot today. So he gave me the wrong medications, actually. He said, with this medication, you can just go. But actually, it didn't help me at all. And then I thought, I will manage somehow. But then 1 hour before the performance, I got scared because I felt that my voice was going always, it was always less, like every minute was less. And my huge fear was to not manage to finish the performance. Because there were some moments in the performance that while I was trying some things to check how it's going with my voice, I couldn't find them. Like, I couldn't find my voice to sing some parts. So I was afraid to don't manage to finish the performance. Like, I'm doing the performance and then in a moment the voice is away, like it's not there anymore, and then I need to stop. So I thought, doesn't make sense to pretend that everything is fine because it's not like this. So it was really important for me to share with the audience this fear that I had, because I didn't want that then something happened and everybody's surprised. No, it's like this. That's the situation. So let's share. And we are here in the same room and let's see what will happen.
And when I heard your epilogue and you actually told it in a narrative of your piece and you were telling the audience, oh, my voice is gone today, the day of my premiere, I'm such a poor guy. So it made so much sense. That was already such a good introduction to the piece that I even thought, oh, did he make this just up? So it was really making the piece smaller at all in that sense. But I was wondering what was different, because I heard, and you also just mentioned, you were singing in other performances. You were not really singing that one day. How did you, what changes did you make to actually be able to perform without your regular voice?
The changes that I made them on the spot. Like, I didn't plan anything before, because I thought if now, 1 or 2 hours before the performance, I start to go through the performance to see where I can use my voice or where not, I will get totally lost and just panic. So I thought, okay, I go for it and on the moment, I see what I can do. And when the voice was not there, so I felt that I cannot sing. Okay, then I just talk or try a way in the middle to say this text that I want to say now. And that's also the beauty of this performance. Like I leave myself the freedom to change whatever I want. Like, yeah, it's again, like to say it in the vulgar way, it's in my own shit, so I do whatever I want with it. No?
There were some parts where it was sort of rap-ish somehow. Was this improvised or did you do this in the regular performance as well? I was wondering.
Part of them were improvised because I couldn't sing, so I had to find something else. Others are like this. Yeah.
No, I can only repeat, it's quite impressive to pull off a show like this without full functioning and then improvising it on the go. It's it worked pretty well for what I could say from outside. All right, and as I mentioned before, we are here, Lifelong Burning is here talking to you because we are teaming up with Impulse Sons to make the attention artists not just show their work here, but to actually stay for a residency, to get more from the festival. And I was wondering, how was your residency? And does it make sense? Or how can you use it when it's the city you're living in? I'm also curious about that.
It was really beautiful because I was rehearsing. So the residency was in the Ballet Academy, which is beside the opera house, place that I didn't know. And to find myself in this huge room with this huge mirror and all these bars to to practice, a practice that is totally so far away from myself.
But so close to narcissism, isn't it?
Exactly. It was really funny. I like to be in the center of Vienna, no? Like in the middle of the tourists. It was beautiful. And it was beautiful because the piece was done, so I could use this residency to make some changes, of course, but also to really enjoy the slowness of coming back to the material. Like the last performance was in February, and I had all the time to slowly go back to the material in different ways, which means physically also lying on the floor, closing the eyes and just going through the text with using the songs or not, just the text. So to really play with the material even more without any pressure to make changes or to develop it, because this process is done for me. Like what I can change now, I can do it just with the audience, like performing. But it was beautiful to have this time to slowly go back to the material. And then also to invite Chris and Brianna for a rehearsal, because I made some changes and I just wanted a feedback. So to open the space also to someone else to come to the rehearsal, it was beautiful, really beautiful.
And you had this rehearsal space, the studio before, or did you have it before and after your shows? Was it the period was only before? Okay. So you did not start working on something new, because that one wouldn't do like a couple of days before the premiere of another piece, right?
Actually, I did. I did. I had 2 weeks, and the first week I was retaking the piece in the morning, and then in the afternoon I was working with another friend to another project.
Is that something you could tell us something about already, or is it too early to speak about it?
No, with pleasure. It's a project that I work together with a colleague, but mainly a friend, Stefano D'Alessio, who is a performer, musician, working a lot with new media. And we know each other since years, and we are really good friends. And since years, we wanted to have a project about, we wanted to sing stupid songs. That was our goal. So my idea, for example, was, okay, I can write something, Stefano can make the music, and then we put it together and let's see what happened, no? Really, without concept, without pressure, just to have fun. And this was an idea that since years was in our head. And then somehow, at the beginning of this year, we decided that, yeah, okay, we do it. And then we used this time to come back together and start this thing. And it was totally fun. It was totally fun to play music. Also because Stefano, as I said, is working a lot with new media. And to see this kind of material in the setting of the Ballet Academy was extremely funny. Extremely funny. And we had a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And the project is... So we had the first gig that we did was 1 week before my performance in the Bull Stance in the close by Vienna, Lindenbrunn, and we will perform again normally in October here in Vienna at Bears in the Park.
As this to singing stupid songs, as you call it.
Yes, yes. It's a concert performance, yeah.
All right, great. Because what we are recording here towards the end of the festival is an episode of the third, actually, season of the Attention Podcast. And we start releasing the first episodes of this third season end of September, beginning of October. So when people actually hear what we're talking about now, it's only, yeah, in a couple of months. And I would also want to hear from you what is happening then? And you mentioned already there's this performance at Bears in the Park. Do you have other plans for this autumn, winter coming up? Any other possibilities to see you on stage? Or is there cooking something?
Both. So I will perform this gig together with Stefano. Then at the end of October, I will perform again Poor Guy here in Vienna at Theater am Weg, which is the theater where I premiered Poor Guy. And then in November at Brotfabrik.
Ankerbrotfabrik in the 10th district.
Yes, exactly. In this place, I will perform again an old short piece of mine, which is called Deine Mutter, which is 15 minutes about swearing and the joy of swearing and the cathartic power of swearing, which is a piece that I love to do it. And it's extremely fun to do, and it's really liberating. And then I'm working as an external eye and also writing some text for a really good friend and a colleague, Alberto Cisello, who will perform in December at Vuk. And I'm cooking something because in March I will have the premiere also in Vuk about a new piece, which is called Party.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah.
Amazing. And the Party piece, did you start working on it already?
In my head, for sure. Yeah. I see already what I want to do. I mean, mainly how, no? Mm-hmm. And I know that already next month I will start to go to the rehearsal space, like 1-2 days, just like this, to start to be in the space and start to work on it, to create material or to approach the topic, to read, of course, material about the topic. And then it's a bit more complicated because I'm alone on stage, but I will collaborate with a lot of people during the creation. So this is also a huge organizational step that will happen in the autumn. And then we will effectively work together towards the end of the year, beginning of the new year. Yeah.
And this time you got funding?
Yes.
I am so glad to hear that. So deserved. All right. Is there something else you would like to mention about the work, about the residency, about the festival, about your future plans, about your past, about you?
I said already a lot about me on the stage. It was amazing to be in the festival. I mean, I live in Vienna since 8 years, so I was always leaving the festival as a guest, no? Mm-hmm. And to be on the other side, it's amazing. Had a lot of fun. Of course, there is also a bit of pressure, especially if it's your first time. I cannot deny it. But then it's also beautiful to find the moment when you tell yourself, I mean, even if it's in Bull Stance, you're just doing a performance. So what can happen? No. And I had a lot of fun. And I'm really thankful to Chris and Brianna, not just for the possibility, but also for how they were accompanying me. And I think also all the other artists, actually. I felt really, I don't know, protected, and they were really taking care of me. And that's precious. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. All right. Thank you very much, Luigi. It was very fun talking to you. And I hope I can catch one of the shows that will happen in the next couple of months by you.
Yes, I hope so. Thank you a lot.
You have been listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographers series. To never miss a new episode, follow us on Deezer, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcast, or Spotify. For more artist conversations, visit our websites lifelongburning.eu and impulsdance.com.